Hey, thank you so much for joining us today on From Start to Finish podcast with Christina Faith. I am your host, Christina Faith, where we inspire people to live authentically and start and finish their dreams. Thank you so much for listening and enjoy the show. Hey, welcome to day two from Start to Finish with Christina Faith. Today on the line, we have the amazing Kim Cash Tate. She is the author of 7 books. You count it? 7 books. She is an entrepreneur. She is a teacher of the Bible. She is a wife and she is a mother. Hey, Kim, how you doing? Thank you so much for joining me today.
I'm good, Christina. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. You know, I think I've heard of you the first time on the Truths album. And I was just like, this woman is just a writer. Yeah, just everywhere. So tell us, how did you get started with writing?
You know, when I got started with writing more than 15 years ago, believe it or not,
okay.
When I was actually on maternity leave with my son, trying mm-hmm. to figure out what I could do to be at home with him. And I was praying about it because I was an attorney and my schedule was just very heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Days, evenings, weekends, and I knew I didn't want to keep up that pace. And so I was really thinking of starting a home-based business. And the Lord put it on my heart to write about the spiritual journey I was on. And so that became my first book, More Christian Than African American, because he had been working in my heart about having an identity in Christ. So that was published back in 1999. I feel so old. But it was 1999. And then after that, a few years passed and I began writing fiction, which was a surprise for me, but it's been a great way to just minister through fiction. And it was my third novel that I got linked up with The Truth on, and that was Cherished.
Nice. So you've been writing for a while. So you kind of had a background as a writer anyway, as an attorney, because you had to write a lot.
That's true.
And you also had a background as a scholar, because to be an attorney, you have to be a scholar. So now you're a Bible scholar, full on and just straight out there. So what was your background? How did you grow up? What developed in you the desire to be an attorney, the desire, to start a business from home, to be a writer?
Well, I grew up in the DC area in Maryland, and I grew up, my parents divorced when I was 4, and my dad was always part of my life, but I was pretty much raised by my mom, and she was very big on education. They actually both were, because my dad was a teacher and then a principal, and so they were both very big on education. So it was kind of a given that I would go to college, and I was not raised in the church. So I was not saved until I was 27. So my perspective from my mother and just the people around me, family members, was you go to school, you get your education, you have your career, and very independent minded, like I'm going to be this independent woman and I'll be married hopefully, but I'm not really dependent on a man for anything. That was my mindset. So
like most of us,
right. So I was thinking in college, what can I do to make money? That was my main driving thought. And I thought, well, law school would be good. And so that's really why I went to law school. It was, I thought it would be a good career. And I would be able to be successful. So I did go to law school at George Washington in D.C. and clerked for a federal judge after that and went to work for a law firm. So I was just on this track of I couldn't see anything other than I'm going to be working in this area of law until I retire, until the Lord got hold of me.
Yeah, I have a similar story. I swear I was going to be an entertainment lawyer. And the Lord snapped.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I went to school. My undergrad was in criminal justice and Africana studies.
I was a criminology major.
Yeah, I minored in criminology and English, and got a job at this university to be able to go to law school for free. And the Lord said, go to seminary. I said, you got to be kidding me. You know, and you know, it's very interesting just how our journeys, how we think we're going one place, and the Lord's like, you're going a completely different direction.
Jay Santos, what up? Ha! Beautiful. beautiful tragedy. Few who view the veracity, supernatural tenacity. Just so happen to capture me, but don't rapture that fallacy. Love don't ask for no salary. Hug them folks so emphatically. Both y'all gon' roll more calories. Charles Dickens and Dickies, tell of two cities, the imagery. Imagine the image of Charles Gibbons and Brenda B. Gibbing the 80s payment for Ronald Reagan's behavior. Nickname that payment a prophet. Jotted with Timothy, he was born in Redondo Beach. Immigrate to Gardena Streets, then escape to that Vegas heat just to praise him on MP3. Jeremiah Timothy G, there's my engineering degree. Tell my lenders of my insanity, pandering these CDs. Now mismanagement, you could think. Speaking candidly, we agree. But the fantasy of deceased kids and parents being redeemed is a dream. Like Martin and King in Atlanta or Tennessee. If you talking about a king that was executed for weed. Boom. Blank tank, rainmaker, fang chaser, flame razor. Raise the bloodstains, save stains. Same prayer, pray they maintain, maintain. Game changers, they are the plank's paper. Pain ain't danger, fang chasing, fake maker. Praise the bloodstains, save stains. Save razor, save us, name changing. Rainmaker, wake up the plank's paper.
Published. How are you a published author? What does that mean for you? If you've been around since 1999, you've gone through the shift of technology and print.
Yes.
What has that experience been like for you?
Well, when I started out, I didn't know anything about publishing. The Lord put the idea on my heart one day at church, and I literally went to Borders the next day to figure out, what does this mean? How do I even publish a book? What do I have to do? So I got information and wrote a book proposal and found out about agents, and the Lord just opened the door because I got my proposal together and sent out query letters to agents. And within the week, I had a top agent that I didn't even send a query to. She had found out about it from another agent. And it was just a weird series of events that week that I knew had to be God. And she signed me 2 days later and had a contract a month later. So it was just the Lord just putting that on my heart and seeing it through. But then when I left my career as an attorney, the same year that book came out in 99, I thought I would keep writing. And the Lord said, no, you're going to actually learn how to be a stay-at-home mom now. So, because that had never been on my radar.
Yeah.
So that's why those years went by where I was home and I was taking care of my two little toddlers at that point and wasn't thinking about fiction. But what happened was the woman who had been my agent on the first book ended up starting this big this press for African American Christian fiction. And she had a few books out by then. It was Walkworthy Press. And when the Lord put it on my heart, what he did was put a story on my heart that I just could not let go. And I said, Lord, are you serious? Fiction, really? Because I thought I would be doing, you know, more nonfiction because I love studying the Bible and thought more along those lines. And I said, are you serious, Lord? Fiction. And so I just really had to pray that through. And I wrote the novel and she read it and she loved it and wanted to publish it. So that's how I got on the fiction journey. And after that book, I was signed with Thomas Nelson. So I have seen, and they published my next five books, but I have seen, yes, the whole publishing has changed so tremendously in the last 15, 16 years. It's been amazing.
Wow. So how have you remained authentic in the midst of that process? And what changes have you seen in the publisher arena?
Remaining authentic, I just really have to write what's on my heart. I've never looked at trends or what's the big hot genre to write in. I can only write what's on my heart, or it just doesn't come otherwise. So I just always pray to God to write novels that deal with real issues, that women can deal with, and that that speak to the heart and to speak to our journey as we walk with God. And it's never a perfect journey, even for those who've been in the faith for a while. And so how do you deal with the issues that come up in life? How do you deal with the trials and the tribulations? My characters usually, you know, some of them have a walk with God, some of them don't, but it's always about this impact of where you meet God along the way and how that changes your life. So that's where I write from. And as the times are changing now, actually, I am, as you mentioned, being an entrepreneur, I am thinking more in an entrepreneurial way, because I love the whole movement of the indie. Now, indie is huge in publishing, where people are putting their own stuff out there and writing on their own deadlines and getting their covers done, getting their editing done. And I'm loving that. So I'm actually thinking about that for my next book.
Man, this dude is just creative. This is Josh Garls with White Owls. He has a new album coming out as well, so you definitely should check him out.
Biggest challenge with being a writer?
I think my biggest challenge with being a writer, other than the writing process itself, which is always hard, but I think the biggest challenge is being a writer in this. Like I said, I've written for Thomas Nelson. That's the largest Christian publisher in the world, but there aren't that many Black authors in the CBA, which is the Christian publishing world. And so it's been hard to, because they don't really know what to do. Exactly. And even though I write with diverse characters, I don't write for one segment of any audience. It's just hard for them to know what to do with your books. What kind of covers should they put on there? How do we market this? And that has been, I think, the biggest challenge for authors of color. And certainly I've seen that with me.
And do you feel like you desire to figure out how to help people in that arena? Like, because I'm sure since you're one of the few Christian females, African-American female published writer, how have you been able to help people along the way in understanding that? Because I know personally, my first book, Nikki's Flesh, is nonfiction as well. And mm-hmm. I didn't even know what to do with it in the beginning. I just turned it into a play and said, hey, let's try to do this so people can put a face to it. Because there aren't a lot of us. You know, yes. And then you also went through the shift of, as far as nonfiction is concerned, with books mainly beginning to be a lot more perverted, in a sense.
Yes.
So how have you been able to deal with all of that? I'm sorry, fiction, not nonfiction.
Right. I knew what you meant.
Yeah.
I haven't actually concerned myself with what's going on. Mm-hmm. On a huge level, mainly because I'm also a homeschooler. So
things to do.
Yeah, my days are so full that I barely have time to write, let alone keep up with what's going on. That probably will change because my kids are now 18 and 16. So mm-hmm. I'm still homeschooling high school. But I have so little time to do even what is on my plate to do that I have not been involved on a larger level with the industry side of things. Mm-hmm. But because things are changing so rapidly, I have been keeping up, mainly through author loops of what's going on and the changes that have come to many authors, white and black, mm-hmm. because of the industry. So I'll be curious to see what path I go down from this point, because it's a very interesting scene right now.
Mm-hmm. And how often do you write? Do you write daily?
I try to write daily. I don't always have time to mm-hmm. write daily. So I'm one of those writers, you know, they say 8 hours a day. You have to sit down in the chair 8 hours a day. That has never been me.
Okay.
So I just think God just likes to make things hard for me. So just like, you will write whenever you have time to write, because you have to be focused on home and homeschooling and all of that. And I'm going to work through you to get it done, but you're not going to be on that regular 8 hours a day schedule. Mm-hmm. But guess what? You'll still be.
You're still going to get
done, and it'll be hard. Yeah, so I don't write.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So do you write in bulk? Like, do you do like 3,000 to 5,000 words a day when you actually do sit down and write?
What, you know what happens with me, like with my last book that came out in September, Hidden Blessings, I spent months and months writing a little here and there, praying like, Lord, my deadline is coming up. I actually need to write more than this. Mm-hmm. And when September came, my book was due to the publisher in October. September came and I wrote 50,000 words in 1 month. And that's what he does with me. Like when he turns it on, he turns it on. And it's like, I'm just flying, you know, fingers flying across the keyboard and it gets done. But I might go days and days, hardly getting anything done. It might be a lot of it is being written in my head. I'm thinking things through. I'm writing notes and doing background research because that book was on cancer. So I spent a long time just researching, and then boom, it'll just get written. And I just don't know when it's going to turn on, but it turns on and it gets done. So I just have to kind of go with the flow of what God is doing. Writing is a serious journey for me mm-hmm. with God.
Here's J-Cop with Letting Go, featuring your boy Josh Lane.
I used to be afraid to fall in love, cause I knew that one day I would be forced to let it go. I knew that we would fall head over heels, and my heart, that girl was still, and in the end one have to watch the other go. When we grow old, and I don't wanna think about it, cause it made me cry. When God decided to take you, then I think I'd probably die a heartbreak. My freaking heart breaks thinking about living without you in my life. My wife, my high school sweetheart, my best friend, baby, yeah. You know when I'm without you, I go crazy. If you want it, you can have it. Life's too short to tell you maybe. And I don't wanna ever let go, no, no, no. So I wrote this verse. It's just one way to let you know, girl, that I'm always gonna love you, even after God takes you home. And I gotta let you go, girl.
Life is one big act of letting go. We live, we love, we die. But one day there will be no pain.
to this world. Think about the pain and all the hurt that they gon' feel. Thinking that if somebody hurts my baby boy or baby girl, then that's somebody that I pray I do not kill. And yes, that's real. I'm praying every day. I'm down on my knees begging for wisdom and for grace. Cause all I wanna do is raise my kids and know your name.
Wow, you make me feel okay about it now.
Oh, good.
Yeah, because I'm working on my second book, Single and Anxious, and I turned it into a web series, trying not to write it, but turned it into a fiction web series. But the book is nonfiction, and I try to blog daily, but as far as writing for the book, that book, I'm just like, Jesus help me. So I've been going through periods where I write 3,000 or 4,000 words a day. One day I wrote like 7,000 and I'm just like, damn, I'm at like 28,000 or something like that. And I'm trying to get to 50,000 and I'm just like, oh Lord Jesus, how's this going to work? And I don't have it. It doesn't come to my head every day. So I'm just like, oh gosh, this can't be true. And then you hear about other people who are writing, you know, 1,000 words a day. And I'm like, oh, that would be so great for me to do. But the Lord is like, not at all. You're going to have to struggle for this one. And, I just have to remember, like, this is completely a sacrifice. I don't profit anything from it as far as what I'm learning, because it's really geared towards singles. I'm profiting, you know, as I study the scripture, and I'm getting something for me as I'm getting for them. And this is like, I'm not even a single anymore. Why didn't I finish this when I was single? And he's like, because he wasn't supposed to finish it when you were single. So to hear a writer talk about not having that, you know, that 1,000 word or that 1,500 word a day standard really helps me say, oh, okay, I feel better now. What are you using to write? Are you using a word? Did you adapt to Scrivener and all that kind of stuff?
That's a good question. For years, I used Word. For my last two books, I used Pages.
Okay.
And I am now trying to write in Scrivener. I'm not doing Scrivener. I had it for a couple of years and could not figure it out. And then I went through one of those little courses and I'm seeing the benefits and I'm getting excited about it now.
Yeah.
You use Scrivener?
I just started with Scrivener probably about a month ago.
Okay.
Right before, so I work for Apple, which is coming to an end very shortly. But they give you a lot of third party apps and stuff like that. And I saw it on there and I was like, I don't really need that. And then one of my friends was like, do you use Scrivener? I was like, I think I can get it for free, but I haven't used it. So he was like, no, you need to get it. And I got it and it made so much sense. Like, I was like, why didn't I do this before? So I'm a bit technological. So I was able to be like, oh, this is how you do that. So yeah, I've done the last 6 chapters in Scrivener. So I'm excited about that.
Nice.
I won't be using anything else until there's a better tool. And for blogging, I use the Desk app, which is really cool.
Okay, I haven't heard of that. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, I'll send you the link to it. One of the guys, he's actually going to be on the show. Well, when this airs, he's been on the show, John Saddington. And he developed it. And it's a really cool blogging app. I will say it was worth $30 because it kind of like it makes everything blank. And you can just put all of your photos right in there, your links right in there, the video right in there, and it publishes right directly to like WordPress or whatever you're using.
Oh, nice.
What do you use to study the Word? Are you a person that uses, you know, paper only, or are you using Logos or one of those apps?
I have Logos. I don't use it. I don't use it a lot.
Yeah.
I open my Bible. I still open my actual Bible.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah.
And I've been doing inductive study for the last 15 years. So that's just my daily discipline that I love and cannot do without, just sitting down with my Bible, with my coffee, with my colored pencils and just studying and marking keywords and looking at maps. And I just love studying the Bible. So that's what I do with my actual Bible. The Logos, I will sometimes open up and I go through seasons. I didn't use it for a long time. And then I had to update it last year. And I like studying, going deeper with keywords and things like that. But again, even then, I like just pulling out my books and opening up Zodiades or, you know, the Greek lexicon. And I just like having all
like
my
tactile
books open in front of me.
You're tactile. Mm-hmm. I understand. Completely get you.
Here is one of my favorite artists, Hunter G.K. Thompson, with Swan Song.
ago, I had made a choice that I would give it all, not just a fragment of my heart.
Stay-at-home wife, how has it been balancing being a wife, being a stay-at-home mother? You're doing homeschooling, your kids are now teenagers, which is probably a bit easier than when they were younger, but a bit harder because now they're older.
Exactly. It's not easier, it's different.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different kind of hard.
Okay.
No, but actually it's enjoyable because now they're at the age where you can have the in-depth conversations. Mm-hmm. You can talk about not just what the Bible says, but how do we apply it now to your lives and all these issues that you're going through as teenagers. Let's look at how we can apply the truths that you've learned over the years in mm-hmm. theory, but now this is actually how you walk that out. And so mm-hmm. you can have those kinds of conversations. I love this stage, even though, you know, because they're older and they do have more complex issues as teens and they're so different and they go through so many different things. I have a boy and a girl, so mm-hmm. very different issues. And, but yet we live life together and we just constantly hang out and we just, things just come up and you can talk about them. And when they're on their heart, it comes out of their mouth and you're right there to say, well, let's talk about what, mm-hmm. what's on your heart, what's going on and pray together and things like that. So I love it. It was an adjustment for me because like I said, I grew up, I don't even know if I knew stay-at-home moms mm-hmm. growing up. And so the Lord really had to put my heart in the home, but in a way that he gave me a desire to be at home and to look to him for being content, being at home. And so, I came home, what, 16 years ago or so. So mm-hmm. It's been a blessing. I'm so thankful that he put it on my heart to do so when they were young and to be able to have walked this road with them. They did go to school for a couple of years in there and are now home for high school. But, yeah, so being a wife, and I've been married 22 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, learning to be a wife also and to get that independent mindset out of my head and
yeah.
to learn to just be a helper to my husband and to, you know, we're great friends and I love my husband. And so it's, but you know, marriage is work as well. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I just have learned that I'm desperate for God as a wife, as a mom, everything I do, writer, whatever it is, I need the Lord to guide me. That's why I need that time in the Word every day. I need it because I need that constant guidance, that constant infilling of the Word and the Spirit showing me what to do in every part of my life. And His grace has definitely been sufficient.
Awesome. Awesome. It's been a pleasure talking to you today. What's your favorite book that you wrote? What's the one that if you had to recommend it to somebody that you would say, go get that?
That's a hard one. I would probably say Faithful. That was my second novel. And that's the one, and my first one, Heavenly Places, people talk about the most, I would say. But I would probably say Faithful because those are three friends and they have three different issues that they're going through. It deals with adultery. It deals with all kinds of difficult issues. They're women who are in the church, but, you know, dealing with life as it hits them. And so I would probably recommend Faithful.
Awesome. So you heard that from Miss Kim Cash Tate herself. Go out and get Faithful or Heavenly Places or Hope Springs, Cherish, The Color of Hope, Getting Blessings. She's just, you know, she deals with sisterhood, transparency, brokenness, encouragement, and growth. And it's really been a pleasure to have you on today. Thank you so much for joining me. You can definitely check her out at kimcashtate.com. She has given you some insights to being a writer and that the process is not always mechanical. It's sometimes just how you're inspired. So thank you for joining us today.
I hope you enjoyed today's show with Kim Cash Tate. It was such a joy talking to her. She's such an incredible inspiration of a home mom, of a writer, of somebody who just keeps going, keeps pressing. Our last song is going to be Jason Nelson, Thirsty. And we were watching God's Not Dead last night, and I just realized how important it is to be thirsty for the Lord. Like, I remember before I was in the Lord and how unthirsty I was. And sometimes, you know, as a Christian and one who's open about their faith, people look at you like you're crazy when you say you're a Christian. And when you desire to tell them about why you're a Christian, but it's okay. Like, God is not dead. He's alive. And if you've been redeemed and you know His love and you know that He exists and you remember where you were before, you know that there is a need and a desire to always be thirsty for Him. And the Bible says that he who hungers and thirsts for righteousness shall be filled. So I look forward to always being filled and always being one who's willing to say, for Jesus I live and for Jesus I die. Have a great day.
My soul is thirsty. me draw from the living well. There's nothing like your presence.